Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome again, as I say again, to the re-debut of Eye on Hollywood here on the Blog Talk Radio News and Comment Network, where you can reach us on Twitter at News Comment BTR. August 5th, 2011, that was the last day that we at last bought you Eye on Hollywood. And tonight I'm so happy that we are back once again. A lot has happened in the last 8 months and 11 days since we've done this. I hope that with us bringing this back, you will enjoy it just as you did then. Tonight on the broadcast, we will bring to you more about Brad and Angelina, finally about to say I do, more on the return of Tupac. Yes, Tupac is back. And more on Nicki Minaj signing off in a huff, and we'll have all of that along with the latest on the weekend box office, new music Tuesday, new DVD Tuesday, and everything else right after this little break. But welcome back. You are tuned in to Eye on Hollywood. And like we said, welcome back. I am LeVar, the host of Eye on Hollywood. This does feel a little weird being back here. So excited to be back. The only thing I will promise to you that we will not mention tonight, well, I mention it now, but the only thing we will not mention tonight will be Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, because there is no news about them this week. The biggest story coming out of this weekend, of course, is the confirmation now of the upcoming nuptials for Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. I call him Brangelina. I don't know what you call him. But I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to see the stunning rock that she's been kind of showing out there over the last few days. Just to give you a few quick things on that rock or that ring, it was designed by Robert Prokop in collaboration with her husband, Brad Pitt. He actually was hands-on on that, according to a statement from the ring's designer. In fact, the ring took a year to create, and it's estimated to be about $500,000, according to jewelry experts. Michael O'Connor told Us Weekly, why so pricey? He said that each diamond is of the highest gem quality, and also the designer worked with Angelina before, and they collaborated on the style of Jolie collection. And it's probably not going to be one of a kind for too long, because already there are words of knockoffs on it. But this wedding is perhaps to us what the wedding of Will and Kate was last year. A lot of paparazzi out there who are looking to try to find out when, where, who's invited, who's going to be the best man, who's the maid of honor. But everybody knows the story of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. They met on the set of their movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith back in 2005. And six kids later, a few years later, they are finally going to be saying I do. So congratulations to them. It's a huge story in the making, in which we'll be covering here over the next few weeks and months, unless they go ahead and they just run off and get married, which is a lot of people are saying that could happen. So I think they're not looking to be too big on things. Before we go into the other stories, real quick, weekend box office. If you were at the box office this past weekend, the number one movie once again for the fourth week in a row, and it's the first movie since Avatar to actually be on top for 4 weeks in a row, was The Hunger Games. Raked in $21 million this past weekend, $336 million overall since its release just a few weeks ago. The Three Stooges, the comedy from the Farrelly Brothers, came in second at $17 million. The Cabin in the Woods came in at number three with $14 million. Titanic 3D, which just came back out, $11.9 million, and coming in at number five, the American Reunion movie, with $10.5 million. So at the weekend box office, kind of a slight decrease from a year ago, almost a 30% decrease. But thanks to the Hunger Games trying to keep it on track, they are estimated to hit the $370 million mark sometime within the next week. So an amazing thing for a movie in which it had high-end budget to come out on top there. New Music Tuesday, new DVD Tuesday. If you are going out tomorrow to buy at the stores, some stores have it on already as we're approaching midnight in the east. But on DVD, coming out tomorrow, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, Michael Fassbender's movie Shame, which a lot of people talked about and was thanks to jabs at the Golden Globes from George Clooney, Michael Fassbender becoming a quickly popular actor in Hollywood. The Divide, also coming out on new DVD Tuesday, along with Frozen Planet, which I've never seen. The complete series coming out, and then I'm going to call it Trem. Some people call it Trem. The complete third season comes out on DVD tomorrow. Very interesting if you're over on the new music front. A lot of stuff coming out tomorrow. Our Lady Peace comes out with their title album, Curve. A Janis Joplin CD, brand new Janis Joplin CD. Yeah, I know, she's been gone for a little bit. But it's called The Pearl Sessions. It's a 2-CD set, comes out tomorrow. Two essential country albums on the way out tomorrow. One from Alan Jackson and another one from Brooks and Dunn. So if you're big fans, the essential anthologies of both will be out tomorrow on New Music Tuesday. Chris Bode out with his Impressions album. Jason Mraz with Love is a Four-Letter Word. Train has a brand new album coming out tomorrow. It's called California 37. And then on the R&B front, two artists here, one that has sadly left us and another one that left us a while back under controversial circumstances, Luther Vandross, coming out with a Hidden Gems album tomorrow. Now, this CD has about 17 unreleased tracks or tracks that have been hard to find before that really had come out probably on soundtracks or had come out but hadn't got really a lot of play off of CD, but a great find. I was actually on Amazon today, and they actually give you a chance to listen to all of them. Great stuff from Luther, as always. And then SWV. Now, here is a group of ladies who hit their peak in the mid-90s with such songs as Weak, and they broke up a while back, kind of had a little feud, but they are now back. They had a song that came out called Cosign back in December. Came out over iTunes, slowly kind of got some play on urban radio, and now they are out with a brand new album to call tomorrow called I Miss Us. And they are also slated to go out on the road on a short little tour, so catch them out in your town when they get there. So that's big news there. And that's pretty much the look at the new music and new DVDs tomorrow. So if you're out, you can catch all of those. And as always, you can depend on us every week to tell you what's coming out ahead of time. But also one of the other big stories this weekend, speaking of music, I'm not sure if you guys have had a chance to see it. Tupac came back. I have to say that again. You have to. It has to be seen to believe. But there is a, for those of you who aren't out in California, but there is a yearly concert that is called Coachella. Pretty big concert where there's a lot of acts there, and you will see a lot of celebrities pretty much walking about and taking part in it. I know Rihanna performed this weekend. Katy Perry showed up at it. And a lot of people joke about it because normally you'll catch the celebrities dressing more or less like hippie-ish. You'll see Paris Hilton walking around. Lindsay Lohan was there. We'll talk about that in a second because there's a lot of controversy with her showing up there. But Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg gave a performance this weekend, and everyone was abuzz over the fact that there was a hologram of Tupac during their headlining set at this music festival on Sunday night. And according to MTV News, the hologram could have cost them between $100,000 to $400,000 to create. Now, while the actual specifics of how the hologram works, they're under wrap until after the festival closes, but in an interview with Dr. Dre last week on LA radio station Power 106, he revealed that Coachella organizers had given the rapper a blank check to do whatever he wanted for his weekend sets. So before the festival, there were initial rumors of a hologram homage to a rapper, and a lot of people thought it was going to be their frequent collaborator, Nate Dogg, who passed away last May. Now, they did pay tribute to Nate Dogg with a tribute video, but everyone was kind of surprised to see Tupac showing up here, and he, on this hologram, did a set with Snoop Dogg and did one of his songs. And I know a lot of people are probably thinking, what would his mom think? Actually, Dr. Dre got in touch with his mom, Afeni Shakur, to get her approval. She actually had a chance to see it online when the concert took place, and she was quoted as saying that she absolutely loved it. And to see it, you could pretty much go to Huffington Post or TMZ, and it's probably online on YouTube as well, but it's an amazing thing in which they did in hologram form. It's not the first time it's been done. A San Diego company called AV Concepts, whose work includes Brad Pitt's reverse aging in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button and a youthful Jeff Bridges in Tron, as well as the holographic Gorillaz performance from the 2005 Grammys, they were hired to create this hologram. And there is work that now, because of the popularity of this happening, it is possibly going to happen when Dr. Dre or Snoop Dogg goes out on the concert tour. And unlike every huge event in recent times, immediately after that performance, Twitter page now has popped up for the Tupac hologram, and it now has over 10,000 followers. It's amazing what people would probably come up with, but it is something to see and behold if you actually have a chance to go out and catch that online. But speaking of Lindsay Lohan, we talked about her appearance there at the music festival this weekend, and it was kind of controversial because if you are aware of this festival, there's a lot of drinking. There is pretty much a little bit of drugs. It's kind of like a modern-day Woodstock for the fancy pants set. But Lindsay, according to TMZ, it really wasn't a thing in which it interfered with what the judge told her, because if you recall back about a month ago when she was kind of given a good behavior off from part of her sentencing there, but she was not to really appear in nightclubs or anything of that matter or whatever, being around stuff like that. But according to a lot of sources, too, on the set of her movie Liz and Dick that she's shooting for Lifetime, they said that that mixed with the alleged nightclub assault, which has happened in the recent weeks, it won't affect her role in the upcoming movie. So full speed ahead for Lindsay, and she actually looked great. Did not drink, and if you saw the pictures of her from this past weekend, actually looked very good. So it's good for her, and I know Hollywood's all hoping that this is a good story for her. Before we go on, just to let you know, and we talked about our Twitter page at NewsComment BTR. You can also catch us on Facebook at News and Comment Network Blog Talk Radio. And a reminder that if you are catching us, you have noticed that our brand new link to Blog Talk Radio here has changed. The link to catch us here on Blog Talk Radio is at blogtalkradio.com/newsandcomment. And also, we are on iTunes. Just look us up, and you can find all of our shows there as well. Going on, opening week for movies, as always, and we will also give you the up-to-date on what's coming out in the theaters. This weekend, only three big releases coming out on Friday. One is the romantic drama, The Lucky One. That is with Zac Efron and Taylor Schilling. That's rated PG-13. The comedy, Think Like a Man, PG-13, is kind of loosely, it's loosely surrounding the book of the same name that was written by Steve Harvey. And this movie kind of has a huge cast of who's who when it comes to the urban romantic comedy such as it is, but comedian Kevin Hart is in it, as well as actor Michael Early, Taraji P. Henson, Megan Good, also in the film. It's rated PG-13. And then the documentary, which is coming out on over 1,000 screens, which is rare. The documentaries don't get that much in regards to movie play when they do come out, but there is a documentary coming out from DreamWorks, I believe. It's called Chimpanzee, and I'm not going to give away what the whole thing's about. Of course, it's about the chimpanzees. It's rated G, a great family film if you want to take the kids out this weekend and not go to, say, the romantic dramas or comedies or other things that are out there. It's a great film, and of course, we don't get too many documentaries that get widespread release, but Chimpanzee out this weekend as well. And taking a look at the top five Billboard songs for this week off the Hot 100, at number five, and you know, I looked at this list, I was pretty much not surprised, but it kind of generates the popularity a little bit of the return of the boy bands, and at the same time, you see Justin Bieber trying to hold on to his status with his fans, because three out of the top five spots either have to do with the new boy bands that are coming into the U.S. or with Justin Bieber. Kind of looking out at number six was Nicki Minaj with Starships. And, oh, and yes, we will get to Nicki here in a second. But also at number five on that list, Boyfriend by Justin Bieber. At number four, What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction. At number three, Glad You Came by The Wanted. At number two, Somebody That I Used to Know by Gotye. I'm going to call it that, and then you may correct me. You can write me and correct me. Featuring Kimbra. And the song We Are Young by Fun featuring Janelle Monáe. So that's on the Billboard Top 100 list. Also at the top five albums, at number five, Up All Night from One Direction. Lionel Richie, who has a new album out called Tuskegee, that's at number four. At number three, Rascal Flatts with Changed. Adele's 21 is at number two. And a new album, top album out this week on the Billboard charts that just came out last week, Nicki Minaj's Pink Friday, Roman Reloaded album. But speaking of Nicki, not sure if you had a chance to see what was going on with her, but a little bit of a controversy in regards to Nicki and Twitter. What happened was that this past Friday, or Sunday, I'm sorry, Nicki got a little frustrated. She went silent. Huge on Twitter. She wished her 11 million plus followers goodbye, with more pointed words to a select few on Sunday night after engaging in a battle with her fan site, with the fan site Nicki Daily, which had started to leak her songs online. And after a spirited back and forth, and of course Nicki is known for a rapid fire tongue, with a group of followers that she called very mean and gave cyber stare downs, she pretty much thought about simply blocking certain members and instead just shut the whole thing down. And she wrote on this, and I quote, she says, quote, like seriously, it's but so much a person can take good effing by. And that was right before she took down a profile. So now, you know, as the rule with Twitter, she's got 30 days to come back or face her account's permanent deletion and the loss of 11 million members. And with her new album, Pink Friday, just released, a lot of people are thinking it's pretty safe to assume that she'll come back soon enough, if not just for some promotional duties. But Nicki very upset there and actually pulling herself off of Twitter. It's not the first time we've heard of a celebrity pulling themselves off Twitter. Actually, just as she silenced her Twitter, back came Demi Moore to her Twitter page this past weekend. And actually, she posted a couple of brand new pics. You can find those out online as well. So, I don't think this is the last that we'll see of Nicki Minaj. I think she's got too much at stake with 11 million Twitter followers and the fact that this brand new album's out. I have a pretty good feeling Nicki will probably cool down and she will be back by midweek. I think it's just for the controversy and us talking about it. I think she probably sold a few more albums off of it, say. In other news, in the dating news or in the dating world, it's not just Brad and Angelina dominating with that, but came rumors this week from X17 Online about a potential romance between two friends and former coworkers in Hollywood. And if you have not heard, there were rumors that Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher were an item. Now, since Ashton split with Demi, he has been rumored to have been with Rihanna, and we all saw what happened at the Rihanna press conference when she was asked about Ashton Kutcher. So we know that that's a definite no. At least, we think that's a definite no. But came word from X17 Online about this relationship between the two who worked together on That 70s Show. And they have pictures this weekend of the two hanging out. And X17 also goes on to state from their photographer who was on the scene that they were beyond friendly at dinner. And then the next day, they hung out and did furniture shopping. Now, I think you and I, we know that if we got friends, you know, that type of thing, we kind of do with them from time to time anyway. So, yeah, furniture shopping, I guess you could do that. But Mila, a rep of her says that she is not with him and that that is not true and that she is still single and that nobody's still asking her out. So, don't know on that one pretty much what's going on, but we'll keep an eye on what's going on between those kids. And in TV news, some other things that are going on, Alec Baldwin at a speech this morning in Washington, D.C., pretty much gave everyone a chance, especially for 30 Rock fans, to rejoice. He was there in Washington, D.C. to speak to the National Press Club, lobbying for funding for Americans for the Arts, which is a nonprofit group. But he confirmed that he would stay on 30 Rock when the seventh season starts in the fall, and that is due to be the show's last for this year. And good news for them, because there had been talk that he was actually thinking about leaving before the end of the run of the show. So good news if you're a 30 Rock fan, Alec will stay. Top DVD sales, before we kind of go into TV news here. If you were buying DVDs this week, at number 5, it was The Muppets. The movie We Bought a Zoo came in at number 4. At number 3 was Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked. At number 2, the movie War Horse. And at number 1, the animated, would you call that animated? Not sure if it would or not. But animated Hop made its way into the top of DVD sales after coming out just a couple weeks ago, right around Easter. So good for them. And on the TV news front, Good Morning America is celebrating after they have put to an end the long-time streak of the Today Show. The Today Show, for the last 16 years, going back to December of 1995, has been number one in the mornings every week, which is a very long span. And in recent weeks, Good Morning America has done such things as have Katie Couric back on. And, of course, they've kind of led the way when it came to some of the breaking news coverage and some of the concert series over the last couple of weeks. And it put them over the top. They beat the Today Show by 13,000 viewers. And last week they had 5.147 million total viewers, while today had 5.134. So big news on the TV front there. And as we said, with everything that is going on, you can always catch us on Twitter at NewsCommentBTR, where we will have the latest in regards to all things Hollywood, all things news, and we will have for you any stories as they break. So with that, pretty happy to be back. It's not the 30-minute Eye on Hollywood that you guys remember. It's not the one with the commentary that you remember, but hopefully in the next upcoming few weeks and months ahead, we can kind of change this as to where it's entertaining for you, where it can be a lot more universal for you, too, and your place to stop for the latest on what's going on in Hollywood. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and we will join you back here next Monday, time to be determined, so stay tuned to that on our website. So until next we meet, this is LeVar saying thanks so much for listening, and we will catch you later. Bye, everybody.